comma. In grammar, a comma can be used in various ways, but is always found in the middle somewhere. A comma can't start a sentence and it can't end a sentence. It can be after the first word and it can be before the last word. But a comma is found somewhere in the middle of a sentence. When you read a sentence with a comma, you take a pause from continuing on with the second part of the sentence. The comma in our sermon series represents a specific season with God, a divine pause from life spent with God. It's a season you intentionally put God first in everything. It's that moment where, just like Janelle was saying, have you ever had those moments where things are happening, and you go, and you just take that breath and you reset yourself? That's the concept of this sermon series. It's a very specific pause with God. It's a very specific moment that you take away from life to say, God, I'm giving you my full, undivided attention for a season to dive into all of this. Today we're looking at a specific comma type, the clarification comma. That's also the title of the sermon. If you missed the last two sermon messages, you can find it on our website, lighthouse805.com. It's also in podcast apps. It's up and running. It's good to go. I'm so excited. It was kind of unique. I had a coworker come up and say, hey, you sound great in your podcast. I was like, what? What podcast do I have? He's like, Lighthouse? And I was like, yes, the podcast, great. And he goes, yeah, I was listening through the God is Able series. And I was like, man, that's awesome. He's a great guy. And it was really neat to see that, you know, the sermon series is going out there. So, clarification comma. This is the idea of, have you ever had a sentence say, you know, for instance, the house is my favorite. Which house? There are lots of houses. But you add in a clarification comma, say, the house with woodworking on it is my favorite. You know when you add in those little commas and it gives a little bit of a description so you can really specify what it actually is talking about? Do you know those types of commas? It's almost like a bubble that happens in the middle of a sentence to get better clarity, better understanding. It helps you understand what's actually happening in the sentence. Just like when we take pause with God, when we take a moment from our busy life and we step back and say, God, I need to pause with you. He brings us clarity and understanding from the first part of the sentence to make the second half make sense. That's the concept of clarification comma. When we intentionally put life on pause to seek after God, we gain clarification. We're focusing primarily out of Judges 6 today. If you have your Bibles, turn there. We're going to be in there the whole time today. If you're whatever translation you have, if it glows or not, we're there. Number one, the clarification comma, we get information of God to us. When there's information that happens, there's an information exchange. When we take moments away with God and we really intentionally pause our life to spend time with God, we gain information from Him. I learn so much more when I spend time with God in those moments. Judges chapter 6, verse 11 through 12 says, the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrathah, belonging to Joash the Abiezrite. When his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. See, up to this point, the land is just being wrecked with enemies. They're coming in, they're stealing everything, terrorizing everything. Gideon is frustrated. He's at the point where, I don't know if you've ever had to thresh grain before. I haven't. But you take a bunch, all your grain stock, throw it in a field, and have cattle just trample it over and over and over, and eventually you have flour. It scrunches down so you can make bread out of it. And the issue is, the bad guys see the cattle stomping it, wait for it to finish, and then steal it all. So Gideon is sitting underneath a tree in a wine press barrel, basically, that's sunken in the ground, and he has the wheat secretly in there with the lid off, and he's poking with a staff to try to make wheat. You only get a little bit at a time versus a whole field's worth. And he is going at it. He's frustrated beyond anything that he has to toil with his own hands when he could have an oxen or a herd of oxen do all the work for him. The smallest task on the farm is to make wheat. Typically, you just have to make sure the cattle keep moving. Super simple, super easy. But the enemy has come in and stolen that away to the fact he is toiling with the most mundane, simplest, basic tasks. Likewise, in our lives, sometimes the enemy likes to swoop in and cause what should be the easiest aspect of our life to become the most turmoil, frustrating aspect of our life. Because the enemy has taken away all of our tools, taken away our time, and instilled us with a fear of losing what little we already have. So Gideon is sitting there, and the angel of the Lord shows up. Now, I couldn't find too many references. This might be the only time, if not one of few times, that actually says the angel of the Lord showed up and sat down. I couldn't find any other times that he has, but I'll keep looking, okay? I might add an addendum later on. The angel of the Lord sat down next to Gideon. And to me, that really speaks that God is patient with us. He knows that Gideon's going to have a laundry list of questions and frustrations that he needs to get off his chest. He's God's chosen people, and the enemy's running rampant in his land, stealing everything he does. He's got issues, and God knows it, and he's willing to be patient, and he's going to take a break at that moment. I think when we take a pause in life and spend with God, we need to understand that first, God is patient, and we need to be patient too. He's going to be speaking to us, but we need to be ready to spend time with him in that. It's not a, you know, Burger King prayer on your way to school, have it your way, learn from God instantly. It's a season of asking God and probing that. God, why is this happening? God patiently will sit next to us. B, in aspects of a clarification, God answers prayer. In the story, it says that the angel of the Lord came down and sat under the oak. The oak. This is translated as terebinth tree. If you didn't know, there's this long list of stories in the Old Testament in regards to terebinth trees. Every time that there was a miracle where God showed up and a promise was answered, the Bible references a terebinth tree being in the scene. It's just an indicator that God answers promises. Really what it is. It's an illustrative way of God saying, listen, I'm going to keep mentioning this tree till you get in your head. I answer your promises. All right? I answer things I promise you. Sometimes it might happen on this side of heaven or in heaven, but my promises come true. One of the things that we gain from clarity and the clarification comment when we pause with God is we realize that God answers promises. And we have to understand and wrestle with the fact it might not happen that day. And that's okay. It might take some time. That's why he's sitting. And C, information of God to us in the clarification pause, if you will, is God proclaims purpose. God proclaims purpose. I love this story because it starts out what I read. It starts with God showing up and Gideon is frustrated. He's angry. There's enemy warriors running around. And all of a sudden God says, I hear you. I'm here. Hey, you're a good mighty warrior. He hasn't said anything else, but he's just proclaiming promise over him. When we take a moment with God, he'll start speaking over us through scripture, through friends, through mentors, through everything. God hasn't asked Gideon to do anything yet. And yet he's calling him a mighty warrior and saying that God is with him. He's proclaiming purpose over and promise over his life at that moment. I kind of think it's interesting, and it's just a side note. God will sometimes speak things to us we don't understand and can't comprehend yet, but it really alludes to our future, really alludes to the victories we will house in this lifetime. Calls him a mighty warrior, and yet he hasn't spoken to him about anything about fighting. He's already saying, you are a mighty warrior, as he's poking a hole in the ground with a stick. It's like, what? Mighty warrior. Like, he's still standing there, and there's an angel of the Lord sitting underneath a tree right next to him. And he's like, hey, you're a mighty warrior. And he's like, do you see what I'm doing here? I'm the wheat boy. Everyone else has something else. I get the lowliest task on the farm. Okay, everyone else has jobs. I'm poking a hole with a stick. And God shows up to him. Number two, when we take a clarity pause, when we pause from life and spend time with God, we have the ability of confrontation of us to God. These are the moments when we pause and we really take time to sit and talk with God that we can actually wrestle with God. We can talk to him and say, why is this happening? Can you give me wisdom? Can you give me understanding? If I just could understand 1 ounce of this, I wouldn't be so frustrated. My nickname wouldn't be Eeyore anymore. Confrontation of us to God. God shows up, calls him a mighty warrior, and then Gideon has some words to say. So something to take note of, God calls him a mighty warrior, and Gideon doesn't even hear that, because the next words out of his mouth allude to he wasn't even listening. Have you ever been so enamored and hurt, pain, and frustration, you can like hear the voice of God and it just goes over your head, and you're like, but I just want to deal with this right now. God's like, that's why I'm sitting. Continue. We'll circle back. We'll get there. Judges chapter 6, verse 13. The moment after God says, you're a mighty warrior, says, pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but the Lord is with us. Why has all this happened to us? Where are all the wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? It's like, that's like a slap in the face. Catch it. You could read that two different ways, and both sting just the same. God could say it like, am I not sending you? As in, tag, you're it, go get it. Stop complaining. The only reason you can keep complaining is because you haven't stepped up to do what you're supposed to do. And the other way to read it is, oh, am I not sending you anymore? Should I choose someone else because you don't believe in yourself how I believe in you? You can read it both ways. In both ways it hurts. God has called you. He has picked you. There are frustrations that you see and no one else sees. And you can keep complaining to God all you want and complain to others all you want. But in the end, God says, did I not send you to do it? Did I not take care of this? I want to inject something that's not in the notes, but when God calls us and speaks to us, it's like an arrow, okay? He takes an arrow, shoots it, giant bullseye. In the center, he says, I want you to do this. You see it, you hear it, it's right here. And sin, the literal definition of sin is missing the mark by shooting an arrow. Right there. God says, I want you to do this. You shoot and you do this. hitting the mark, God says, I'm giving you vision of these frustrations that you're seeing all around you. Deal with it. Missing the mark is, man, I can't believe all these things are going on. Someone should really take care of it. Am I not sending you? God speaks to you in certain ways that he's not speaking to anyone else. And the fact that you share with someone else about your frustrations will fill them in, but it really isn't doing much beyond that. God has called you. He has sent you. He even says, am I not sending you? Number two, confrontation of us to God. A, challenging God develops character in us. It's probably the longest subpoint I've ever had. Challenging God develops character in us. When you're frustrated, talk to God about it. When you're hurt, talk to God about it. When you're just angry, talk to God about it. Talking to someone else will kind of alleviate some of the frustration momentarily, but it really doesn't do anything. When we talk to God and we're like, God, I'm so frustrated right now, he starts opening up your spirit and your mind to see more that you haven't seen before. Starts saying, ah, good, I'm glad you noticed that too. I've been dealing with that in humanity for thousands of years, and I'm glad that you just spent the last 10 minutes mulling this over. Let's talk. All of a sudden, character will start developing in you. B, confrontation of us to God. Remind God. Out of the scripture, Gideon talks and says, where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us in the hand of Midian. You know that worship song we sing? If he did it before, he can do it again. Remind God. God, you're a healer. You can heal. You're a deliverer. You can deliver. You're a redeemer. You can redeem. I've seen it here, here, and here. I'm calling on you to move in this aspect of my life too. It's this. Remind God. When you confront God in your prayer time, have the confrontation be about reminding him what he's done before. That's what Gideon did. And C, answers can be mirrors. Answers can be mirrors. Well, God, how are you going to solve this? This person's really bugging me. And God will give you a mirror and say, here's the person I'm sending to alleviate that. Oh, I don't like that answer. God will sometimes send a mirror as an answer when you confront him about situations. Well, who's going to take care of this? Oh, there's this really neat gray box you should look into on that. Whoever you see appear will probably be the person God chooses. It's in the mirror. Gideon's confronting God. Why is this happening? Why is this happening? Who's going to do this? How are you going to come? Blah, blah. And God says, I'm sending you. You're the one that sees it. I've given you the eyesight that I have in this situation. Sometimes you'll be so frustrated and worked up about something so minute and small and no one else sees it, and you're frustrated at everyone else now because no one else sees it. Have you ever been in that situation? You're like, ah, this is driving me nuts. Come on. And everyone's like, okay, I guess. Because God is giving you his lens into that because you're the one to do it. Don't be frustrated on everyone else that no one else can see it. God has opened your eyes to see it and do it. So every time you need a solution, sometimes you just need to confront God by looking in the mirror, saying, all right, I get it. Number three, when we pause from life and spend time with God, revelation of God will happen among us. Revelation of God. These are the moments when you just have these special, unique, divine encounters with God. You show up to church and you just feel like he moves the most mighty he's ever moved. You go up to a camp and he's moved the most mighty. It's just, there's these moments where you just feel the presence of God so much thicker than any other time. It's not that God's departed. It's just that you've become fully present. It's not that God's not fully present. It's that you haven't been fully present. Revelation of God among us. Judges chapter 6, 19 through 24. Gideon went inside, prepared a young goat, and from an ephah of flour he made bread without yeast. Putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot, he brought them out and offered them to hear under the oak. The angel of the God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock, and pour out the broth." And Gideon did so. Then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread with the tip of the staff that was in his hand. Fire flared up from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. It's one of those like wow moments that would probably only last like 10 seconds. You're like, what just happened? When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid. You are not going to die." So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, "The Lord is Peace." To this day, it stands in Ophrah of the Abiezites. When we intentionally pause from life and spend time with God and clarity happens, we'll realize that God is among us and we are called to do certain things. A, sacrifice. Sacrifice. Taking the whole picture for a moment, what is Gideon doing all day long? Like his one job, not living his best life, has opened up a pit in the ground that you throw grapes in and stomp on to make wine. He has opened that up, taken a little bit of wheat and hay, thrown it in this hole, and poke it with a stick until it becomes flour. Right? That's his life. I do not want this life. I thank God that he had this life and I have my life. That is his life. So, what was the thing that he offered up to God and sacrificed? The very thing he was stomping with the staff. He took the flour out and made bread from the thing he was toiling with. It was a thing he was working so hard that was left over from the enemy not stealing it. He had very little of it. Doing it that slow? Just contextualize, typically you take an entire crop, throw on the field, and all the cattle stomp over it to have enough wheat for bread for a small season for your family. He probably gave him the majority of what he had been working on, and he gave him the goat. You know that these raiders come in and steal everything they got except for what they can hide in small areas. This goat may have been their last goat and may have had two others, but it's whatever they could have hidden from the enemy. In this moment, he took what he had, which is probably very little, and said, "God, you know what? I've worked very hard for this. I'm frustrated from the enemy stealing it, but instead of letting them steal it, I'm actually going to sacrifice it up to you." And he sacrificed what little he had. What little he had. And because of that, he got the anointing and the purpose and the blessing of who God had called him to be, which caused him to become a warrior, which caused him to stop the raiders, and which caused them to go back into a flourishing, blessed lifestyle. Had all the hay in the world. He never had to stomp it with a stick again. But it all started because he had the revelation that God was with him and he chose to sacrifice it. This is why I believe so much in giving of my skills, giftings, and even tithes. There are so many times where I'm like, we'll be somewhere, you know, we'll hear something, my wife and I will feel convicted, and we'll give towards it. And God shows up. He brings blessings. B, God is always present. Revelation that God is among us, when we take a pause, we will have the understanding and realization that God is always with us. Do you catch the order of the last scripture? Guy pokes the meat and the bread with a staff. It erupts in flame. He disappears. But Gideon kept talking. He didn't stop talking. That wasn't the end of the conversation. He continues talking to God even though he has disappeared. And then God answered back even though he was gone. I think that's the greatest miracle and evidence that God is always present. It doesn't matter if you see a divine being standing in front of you, the angel of the Lord standing in front of you, or not standing in front of you, you can speak and he will respond. I think that is a huge takeaway. You get that reassured in yourself when you take a pause in life and you spend time with God. If you're unsure if God speaks, I challenge you. Take a pause in life and spend a lot of time with God. And see, no, you will not die. Verse 23, but the Lord said to him, peace, do not be afraid. You are not going to die. You are not going to die. Did you know this statement is actually a threefold statement? You are not going to die. God wasn't speaking to the exact situation at that moment. He was speaking at this moment, the next moment, and the eternal moment. He was saying, you're not going to die in this moment because you've seen the angel of the Lord. Because you have a purpose over your life. You're not going to die when you face this army because you have a purpose over your life and you're not going to die. And lastly, you are not going to die eternally because I've called you my child. He's speaking to him in present, soon, present, and future tense. It's really interesting. When you spend time with God in these moments, you will realize that he is calling you to do something, and it's not going to hurt you, harm you, or kill you. It's going to be uncomfortable, yeah. It's going to be awkward, yep, guaranteed. It's going to be weird, uh-huh, check the box. But it's not going to kill you. It won't kill you. It won't destroy you. Your purpose will last through it. And then furthermore, you're not going to perish forever. You have eternal life because you accepted Jesus into your heart. You have everlasting life. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for giving us the opportunity to take a break from our life and spend time with you. Not just that we can get closer, but we can get clarity. We can gain understanding. We can get this wisdom of why things happen. And then how to have purpose on our life to go after it. We praise you for the clarity of learning who you are all the time with us. We thank you for the clarity that you give when you speak to us in these moments. Lord, I pray that this would not just be another Sunday, but this would be a new lifestyle. That we would choose to spend time with you. Intentional time. Not leftover time. Intentionally spend time with you. In your mighty name, amen. I'm going to go ahead and ask, is this Sterling coming up?
So we're going to continue worshiping with our tithes and offerings, if you want to get that prepared. And also, if you have prayer requests or praise reports, please jot them down on the connection card and put them in the basket as it comes around. Let's pray. Lord, Thank you this morning, Lord, that you are faithful, that you know just what we need, Lord. And if we step out and trust you, you always come through, Lord. You show yourself faithful. You keep your promises. You lead us in a way that just builds our faith in you as we see how faithful you are, Lord. So we just ask this morning, Lord, that as we worship you with our tithes and offerings, that you would show yourself faithful in our lives, in each of our lives, Lord, that this week we would have a testimony of you providing for us, that it'd be something that we could come back next week and just be excited to share with someone that, hey, the Lord did this for me during the week. Just as I was faithful to him, he was faithful to me, Lord. So we ask that you would do work in our lives, Lord, that would glorify yourself. So this morning as we give, Lord, we ask that you would bless the gifts, that you would multiply them beyond their surface value, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Sterling. Well, ladies, I'm so excited because it's finally here. This Saturday, we're heading down to our women's conference. So make sure you finalize if you're still deciding, like, well, should I go, should I not go? You need to just go. So I'm making the executive decision for you. You need to go. I promise you, I cannot stress enough how amazing and how excited I am for this. You know, Janelle and I have been like looking forward to this, praying over everybody of just, oh man, just the things that God has for us as women. And not that he can't give you these things outside of a conference, because obviously he can. But there's something about being in this setting of being surrounded by women who are all there expectant to receive something so great and different from the Lord.